It is our privilege to have Pastor Evariste from Burundi with us this morning. And he's our blessed brother taking the forefront there in Burundi. And Pastor, if you can come up and stand here next to me. Yes, he's just such, the Lord is just doing such wonderful work in Burundi. And it's such an awesome, awesome privilege to have you here this morning. And you're a mighty warrior for God, such a humble man, and we're expectant and really willing to hear what the Lord has laid on your heart for us this morning. So we just want to welcome you with a warm Paul welcome, and yes, may the Lord bless you and keep you and everything that the Lord is doing there in Burundi, and yeah, the Lord is doing wonderful work there, and we just praise Him for that. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. Weyamora. I think I will learn this language because I will be. I think I need to know this language because I will come here several times. I want to just bring greetings from my family. I was speaking with my wife this morning, and she said, "You just tell the church that we are together. We love them." And she was telling me that she thought she would be here, but she's not able to be here with me now. Probably next time. So I want also to bring greetings from the pastors that came here with me in the conference. They are all happy to know that I'm coming, and I'm coming for MTP. And they asked me a question, "What are you learning?" Because they thought I got some kind of knowledge which I got through different universities. So, no, I'm learning from God. I will never stop to learn from God. So they were shocked because I'm their teacher, and I'm their pastor, and I taught them at the university level, teaching them theology. So they say, "Why do you spend your money going to learn how to serve the church when you've served the church from 91? Say, "No, we keep learning." So also today I encourage you. You've heard several messages, and you always read and eat from the word every morning. But I encourage you to hear me also today. So I want to share about knowing and doing God's will, because that takes away our shame. It's a shocking experience when you come to a given party or a celebration and they expect to be welcomed, then somebody surprises you saying, "I don't know you. Why are you here?" You feel like, "Oh my goodness, why am I here really? I thought I was part of this, but I'm not." So it's a shocking message. So I want today that you should be able to know the will of God in your life. And I want you to enjoy the blessings that the Lord is giving us every day before even we enjoy the everlasting blessing. And this shock that always comes on our way is not from today, because the book of Romans says that we are all lost. So that's why when you are not in the proper place, you are lost. You end up getting that kind of shock. "I don't know what I'm doing here." The humankind was lost. We were all lost, but it's by the saving grace of Jesus Christ that we are able to enjoy the will of God in our lives. The book of Isaiah 53, verse 6, I like the message version, which says that we are all like sheep who have wandered off and gotten lost. We have all done our own things, gone out on our way, and God has piled, look at this, all our sins, everything we've done wrong on Him, on Him. In this message, I want to just share that when we try to understand how God loves us, we have to understand what is His will to us. And knowing God's will, that is the only thing and supreme thing that we need in our lives. Jesus taught His disciples and the Jew around Him. Because you see, when Jesus came on earth, He entered different synagogues and places where the Jew were worshiping. When He read, when we read Mark 3:35, He shocked some of the people around in the church, saying, or in the temple, saying, "For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and my sister and my mother." This is people coming, telling him, "Your mother, your father, they have been looking for you." So doing the will of God, sometimes it's like doing what's necessary, sometimes which will cause shame on other people. So it's only Jesus who can take our shame on Himself. Nobody else can ever do that. But what happens when people don't like to learn and know how they can really be taught to enjoy the will of God? David had a wonderful spirit when we read Psalm 143:10, when he asked to be taught the will of God. He asked God, "Teach me your will." It's a very wonderful attitude for us as children of God to learn, to listen, and to learn from God doing His will. Every time you wake up, you have a plan. And you know you want to do something, A, B, C, D. But what is God's will in what you have planned to do? Remember Paul in chapter 9, verse 1 to 6, when doing his conversion, he did not know what he was doing while he was hunting down people of God. Then when he was shocked by lightning, he was told to go to the city so that he can be instructed what to do. So we need to have that attitude of getting instructions and knowing what to do. This is my hope, that today you will learn to be expectant and do God's will. Now, what is God's will? And what is the will of God for my life? You know, there's the will of God and the will of God for my life. There are just a few questions that we can ask ourselves, but let's go to just the point number one. When we read Matthew 7:21-23, I will read from Good News Translation. "Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only." And when I read, most of the time I read the small words, only, like the word only, which catches my attention. "Those who do what my Father in heaven wants them to do." When judgment day comes, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, in your name we spoke God's message. By your name we drove demons, many, many demons, and performed many miracles." Then I will say to them, "I never knew you. Get away from me, you wicked people." This is a very strange message to somebody who thinks I'm part of the thing while he's not. You might have grown up in the church, your father being the pastor, or have preached from your young age to different people, but are you doing the will of God? So the point number one here, the Bible tells us, is that we should be able to know the will of God in our life. For me, knowing the will of God equals salvation experience. Because when I was lost, before I accepted Jesus in my life, I was only doing what I wanted. Because the salvation experience changes your track, changes your direction. It involves repentance, it involves turning away, it involves several steps as you learn every day in your life. Salvation makes a change. It's a turning point in somebody's life. And salvation is the will of God. When God created human beings, he wanted them in Genesis to be worshipers, just to worship him, to love him, to serve him, and to just acknowledge him because he was taking care of them every day. But human beings got tired of God. Say, no, we don't see this God. We don't experience, we want to touch our God. So they made their own God. People have their own will. People have their own choices. People want to do what they want. But God has a divine purpose for us. This is why instead of letting people get astray, he chose another way, another plan for their lives. So salvation is not mostly the most thing we need to do so that we can enter the kingdom of God. So accepting Jesus is not something we say we can earn or we deserve it. We did not deserve it. It was just a gift. It's a favor that God did for us. And this is why some of the people, especially, I'm not judging, but religious people of this time, they thought they're children of God. Why did, in Matthew 12, verse 27, this is normally the context of why did Jesus tell these people, I will tell you, go away. The sons of Jews and leaders were casting out demons at that time. They were casting out demons in the name of God. But my question is, did they know God, Jesus really, in their lives? Absolutely no. Jesus is making a significant statement here. You may think that you are doing tremendous miracles in God's name, but that does not mean you belong to him. You can do good things, but it doesn't mean you belong to him. There was a discussion between one guy and the devil. They were doing a debate, and this guy thought he will defeat the devil by questioning him several questions. But this guy was pretending that the devil does not know many things about God or Jesus. So he asked the devil, do you know I'm the child of God? The devil said, I don't know. That was the only question the devil said, I don't know. The second question was, do you know Jesus exists? Say, yes, I do. Do you know Jesus died? Yes, I know. The devil knows. Do you know Jesus rose again? Yes. Do you know Jesus is the Son of the Living Father? Yes. Do you know Jesus went into the grave? Yes, the devil knows. The devil says, I know. Do you know he rose again? Yes. What do you think would be the question that the devil would not respond to and say yes? It's only the question that this guy asked, do you believe in Jesus? Say no. Because the devil cannot believe in Jesus, cannot trust in Jesus. So this is now the message that most of the people might say, we are. But what does Jesus say about you? What are the people say about you? Because the devil knows about God and he knows all the things we believe, all the things, the very tremendous thing we believe as Christians, as evangelicals, the devil knows, but he doesn't believe that. He doesn't believe Jesus. I mean, he doesn't believe Jesus. as a personal savior. So that's the only thing we can boast of, instead of boasting of any other things, to be the children of God, to experience salvation. That's the only ministry that Jesus gave to us at the cross. During this ministry, Jesus emphasized the importance of doing the will of God. After knowing, you have to do. After accepting Jesus, you have to do and go his way. He emphasized how submission to God's will opened doors for us to become his sons and daughters, co-heir of Christ in the kingdom of heaven. A born-again Christian knows God's will. At the same time, my point too, he does it. Now, doing is different from knowing. Those are two different verbs. Jesus came with a purpose. It reached a time he wanted to save us. But when he went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus experienced the terrible. He saw what he's going to endure, what he's going to go through. He prayed, God, sweating, and he sweated the blood. I don't want this to happen, but not my will be done. Let your will be done. John 3:19b says, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. So if we pray and we do, if we are saved and we do what God wants, not what we want, God listens to our prayer. This morning we were praying and I'm anxious and somehow nervous about my going back home maybe next week or I don't know when because of the visa issue. I have a problem of my visa. Normally I'm supposed to come every time I want in South Africa for 20 days only. But this time I have to be here for about 27 days. So the immigration told me, no, you will leave on the 28th if you want to be legal in this country. If you want to be illegal, you will leave sometime later, but you will be illegal. So you don't need to stay here. You have to leave. So I said, fine. So when I was praying, I said, God, let your will be done. Maybe you know why. You know why? Maybe the immigration is saying so, but it was my prayer. It was my will that I leave here on the 4th of May. So I'm praying and I'm saying, God, let your will be done. Doing the will of God is following the direction of God. How I love to do your will, my God, I keep your teaching in my heart. Psalm 40, verse 8. When you keep God's teaching, God's voice, listening to him, you will end up doing his will. John 4, 34. My food, Jesus said to them, it is to obey the will of the one who sent me and to finish the work he gave me to do. So Jesus had a task, very, very heavy task on him to save us. So he had to do it, to endure it, and until we were all saved. I have made known your glory on earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. John 17:4. So you cannot say this statement unless you've gone through a very, very tremendous experience. Jesus on the cross, being wept, being beaten, this was his task. That was the doing the will of God. And that took our shame away. Jesus praying on Gethsemane, as I said, yet not what I want is a statement most of the morning I say, today, not what I want, but what you want. Like Jesus, we have to have that attitude of doing what God wants, not what we want. We all have to know the need for salvation through Jesus. This will of God, this is the will of God. He does not want anyone to perish. This is his will. He is waiting for you and for me to experience the salvation experience then be set free, then become children of God. The end results of worshipers of God. When you worship God, the benefits becomes tangible. If doing miracles and growing into the house of the pastor amounts to nothing, we should therefore aim to become doers of the will of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. The benefit number one, God pays attention to every and all his will doers. John 9:31. He pays attention to what you do. God listens to us every time. And when we do the will of God, we have no regret. We do them right. And we make godly decision. We can enjoy the decision tomorrow. We are assured that we will bless. He will bless what we are doing. So once we are assured that God will, when we do his will, we will never regret. That's something very important. There are things you can do and then regret after. But if you do the will of God, you never regret. And you do them right. And you make good decisions that you enjoy tomorrow. This is what I long to do every day when I pray. And God will bless you. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Jeremiah 29:11. This is normally the message for us who are Christians. We should discover that this plan of God for us is very important, and then yield to his will in our lives and do it. The scripture emphasizes a few key points on the topic of doing. First of all, it states the being of worshipers of God and doing his will. This means the same. Secondly, it reminds us that when we obey the Lord, that he listens. This is what I was saying. Lastly, this verse is a wake-up call to everyone about the importance of doing the Lord's will at all time in his life. There is a need of distinguishing between directive and permissive will. This is theologians have made this statement very clear. God's directive will means that that which is his highest and most precious purpose. Often, he permits that which he does not desire or command. I may have God's highest will for my life. This and this one will be life's highest purpose and its greatest usefulness. The permissive will, I mean that which God may allow and yet not allow, really approve. He may allow it, but does not approve it. It's your choice. On the other hand, I may make my own plans and insist on my own choices. And he may allow me to do this and even grant me some measures of blessing. But it will be a serious mistake. The Israelites put God to test in the desert. They were filled with cravings in the desert and put God to the test in Psalm 106.15. This leads us to the question, what are the conditions of doing God's will? God's perfect will, and how we may know his perfect plan for our lives. Does David's prayer give you any clues? The Bible declares that the fact that God has a will a plan for the life of each of the children. The declaration of the truth and God's throughout the Bible is proven in the experience of God's people. The psalmist often prays to know God's will in order that he might please God. God silences all kinds of ignorances. If you do his will, there will be opposition. There will be people coming to oppose what is the will of God in your life. But keep doing the will of God in your life. Paul writes to the Colossians, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Colossians 2:14. So it's better to pray that we continue to do what God wants us to do. I'm repeating this because it's very important in our Christian life, because we are almost driven apart of the path we have to continue enduring. When we don't do our will, sometimes it's not good. We feel like this is not my choice. It's bitter, it's very strange, it's very complicated. Sometimes it's not what you think you have planned, but let God guide you. It's my prayer today that we consider doing God's will today and in our daily activity to bring the lost to Jesus Christ. That's the will of God. I always ask a question to some of the people in our congregation. How many people have you brought to Jesus this week? 1, 2 souls? That's the will of God. It's not easy. Because you not tell me from Monday to Saturday you didn't meet one person. You've been with people at job, in the market, so in the malls, around the train. How many times did you share about salvation experience with somebody else? Because that's the will of God. But a whole week can end up without sharing the will of God to people. So we always say we need the mercy. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:15, he reminds us, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. So when you share in the train, maybe people will say, this guy is crazy. Yes, sometimes we look crazy. We look crazy when we do the will of God. In Romans 12, verse 2, you mature in the matter of God when you do them. When you don't do them, you don't mature because you are threatened by doing the will of God. You don't mature. Having a teachable spirit in each and every Christian must endure and do and must grow. Romans 12, do not conform, verse 2, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. The Lord wants us to stand mature and fully assured in the will of God. In order to mature, you must accept the teaching of His word. And you must do what the word tells you to do. And this is living by the word of God. There are matters, however, about which the Bible does not have any specific word for us. Suppose we are in a doubt as to whether we should go on a certain journey or buy a certain house or car or anything. What should we do in that matter? We can be sure because God guides us, not only by the teaching of His word, but also by the prompting of His Holy Spirit. So whatever we do, let's enjoy the participation of the Holy Spirit, the interference of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let him cause us to be careful as we decide on whatever we do. So I was discussing with my wife when I was coming here, my wife said, no, you need to go with some money. You don't travel from Burundi to South Africa, although you have your ticket, you have your visa, but you need some money. I said, no, why do I need some money? I need to leave this small money with you so that you can feed the children, take care of the children. I said, no, you should go with some money. Then we wrestled the whole night, then we prayed, then we slept. In the morning, he said, no, you need to take this money because you'll need some pocket money. Now when I came, they said, you need to change your ticket and then you need to adjust your dates. If I'm not going on the 28th, I'll need to pay my ticket. If I go on the 28th, I'll need to change my ticket. So I lose that money. So I was really ignorant. I was not obeying what my wife was telling me, but I'm finding it's very important. It was good to bring some money with me because when I change my ticket, I'll pay. So I had no money to pay my ticket. So I was so much hard on her because I was fearful. We didn't have enough money. So I wanted to leave that money with her so she can eat it with the children, use it. I didn't know the will of God was maybe I might go earlier, so I might change my ticket. So it's better to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. My wife worked with the Holy Spirit on that instance, and I recognized when I reached at the airport, oh, this is what my wife told me. So it's good I brought this money with me, so maybe I can pay the penalty or I can do anything. When I change my ticket, I'll be able to pay that. Number two, we have to be overruling. We have to obey the overruling of God's providence. When God rules and takes charge of everything in our lives and we yield to that, we will be really doing His will. God hedges up our way so that we cannot do the things that we plan to do. He causes our thoughts to change, to be in harmony with His own thoughts, as we read in Proverbs 16, verse 3. Jesus Himself knew and understood the will of His Father, and He obeyed it in every situation. He died on the grave. He died and rose again. He went through the grave and rose again, so that we can have life. It was God's will that humanity have the opportunity to choose salvation over death by believing and confessing Christ in their lives, trusting Jesus in their lives. God loves mankind so much, and He wants to have a close and intimate relationship with us where we love Him unashamedly as well. Galatians 1:14, who gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God and Father. John 2:17, and the word is passing away along with its desire, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. I don't know. I believe there will be a day many pretending Christians will be shocked because this word cannot be in vain. So we have to be very careful as worshipers of the Lord that we do the will of God. God's words is clean. If we do not do the will of God, if we do not obey the will of God, one day we might be shocked. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Yes, we may get tired sometimes, but the Lord is always there to strengthen us, encourage us, so that we can journey our journey with Him, it's not easy, but we have to endure and do what He tells us to do every day. Let's keep doing His will. As I finish, I just told about two things. We must be having a teachable spirit like that of David. And this will turn our attitude to become children of God. Like David, we will become learners and we will become in the path where God wants us to be. I know that you have the desire and you long to be and to live with Jesus. It's only when we know and when we do the will of God. Let us long to crave and crave to do God's will, whatever the cost. David, when he prayed, "Teach me," it doesn't mean he did not know anything. David was friend of God, but he said, "I need to know your will." And this is the spirit and the attitude we should have. We should be learners from God every time. And the word, the world and everything is in it is finishing. And the people's desires will pass. But those who do the will of God will remain forever. So doing will give us, will usher us into the kingdom. There are the simple conditions, those are the simple conditions we must meet if we are going to seek, to know, and to do God's will. These are the three ways, as we shared, which will enable us to be sure, to be certain that we are going to get the right message. Come and rejoice, be with me. Not, I don't know you. That will be the message that Jesus will tell us when he's taking us to be with Father. Casting out demons, performing miracles in the name of Jesus does not give us the key. It's not the key to enter. But I pray that God will continue to help us tell people, other people, that it's only by accepting Jesus and knowing it's our assignment. So we might know this, but it's our assignment to do that here and there. I always see different people around. Yesterday, when Andre came to pick me somewhere, I saw different people in that summer rest, west, somewhere there. Different people, like, I saw like a community, like a Burundian community there. The different people, that was like Burundi, somewhere in Burundi. So I said, this is where maybe I wish I could visit this place several times and share Jesus. Unfortunately, I left that place without sharing, except one guy whom we shared about our experience of Christian life. So I always long to tell somebody about this message of the shocking message when Jesus will tell you, I don't know you, pretending you are in the church, you are a child of God, but you are not. God bless you as you know his will and you do his will for your life. Please, I pray and I beg you that we will continue to be humble and listen to God, the voice of God, and we will do what God tells us to do. It might be difficult, I always tell my guys around, pastors and others, that it's not easy. It's difficult to serve the Lord. It's not easy because we end up doing what we are not planning. We end up doing the plan of God. So we have to dwell in the word of God. We have to listen to God. We have to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We have to always be sensitive and humble enough to do what we did not plan, but the plan of the Lord. God bless you and keep you. Thank you so much for listening to my words. I pray that this will give you another asset or another encouragement as we journey into our Father's kingdom. God bless you. Thank you so much. Let us pray. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for your will in my life, in our lives. We thank you for the salvation experience that we experienced. We thank you for the blood you shed at Calvary that was for us. We didn't deserve it. We were sinners, we were lost, but you chose to give your son so that we may have eternal life. Father, we are now supposed to do your will. We have to preach. We have to tell people about you. That's the way to worship you. Worship you by saving, bringing people to the knowledge of yourself. Father, I pray that we will do what you tell us to do and we will obey your commandment. Especially during this time, people are engaging themselves in different things, which is their end results. We pray that God will focus on doing what you want, no matter the cost. In the name of Jesus, amen.